Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio shows. This is the edition of Christian Life Coaching with Associate Pastor Kimberly Horvath, and I have her on the line. I'm just going to tell you a couple of things before I bring her on. Bible study will be available the first part of next week. It's about the armor of God. It explains every piece of the armor, and all the faith has been working very hard. So look out for your social media for when that will be available to you. Also, You for Christ show is still available, and Flashback Friday show is still available. Just go to www.journeyhomeministries.org, and you can catch up with all the shows, present and past. Okay, I'm ready for this. I have to bring the pastor on. Hi.
You're ready for this?
I am so ready. I can't tell you how ready I am for this.
That is so funny. I'm happy to hear it.
Yeah. He stopped by and told me a little something, something, you know, the Holy Spirit. Just get ready. Get ready, get ready.
To get ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I was barely ready.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I'm very excited about, you know, what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you have the floor, and let's give them some food.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay.
So, you know, last month we really got into some heavy stuff, and this month we're going to kind of go into one of those areas and talk about it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
All month long, God has been just putting in my spirit the idea of how our relationship with him is our responsibility.
Right.
That was a lot of what our teaching was about last month. So if you have not heard it, it would be beneficial to you at some point to go back and to listen to last month's recording. We talked
mm-hmm.
about our relationship being our responsibility. And so I'm going to start off with talking about the idea of pastor, because many people do not really quite grasp the concept of what the pastor
mm-hmm.
is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's very important for people to understand that, because when you understand the pastor's role and who the pastor is supposed to be, when you come into the full knowledge of the truth of that, then it's much more difficult for you to be in a situation of having church hurt, of
mm-hmm.
being led in a cult-type situation, of being manipulated,
right.
of being controlled,
mm-hmm.
all of those things that are not of God. It's much
Absolutely.
Harder for them to happen to you when you have the truth. And I want to make sure that I'm clear about what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. Okay?
Right.
So I'm just going to slow it down a little bit tonight. And we're going to start
okay.
off by talking about that. And then I'm going to talk a little bit more about some ways that we can, some things that we can do to take responsibility of our relationship with God. So there's a lot of meat tonight. Okay,
okay.
A whole lot of meat.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful.
I was with my mother. I had the pleasure of being with my mother over the weekend. For those who don't know, my mother is an assistant pastor, and she was preaching an awesome, awesome sermon on prayer. And she said this thing, and it really hit me that I need to share it tonight. She said
okay.
that our responsibility of our relationship with God is to grow in the knowledge of his word.
Oh.
And when we grow in the knowledge of God's word, our relationship with him will develop.
Absolutely.
There are many of us who are waiting on the many blessings that God has for us. But if you do not grow in the knowledge of his word, there are some things that you will never be able to receive, because you're not
right.
mature enough to receive them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
God does not give you things that you are not ready or capable of handling. It's important for me to say that again. God does not give you things that you are not ready to have or that you're not capable of handling. If you receive something that you are not yet capable of handling, it did not come from God.
Mm.
It's very important for people to understand that, you know, we believe that Satan is real, but there are certain things that we act as if he can't do. Okay?
Yeah.
And I paused there deliberately because I wanted people to think about that. We say that he's real, and yet at the same time, we act as if there are certain things he can't do. He's a manipulator.
Yes, that's his whole job.
He manipulates whatever he can.
Yes.
And because he is a manipulator and because he is a master of God's word, like he knows it. He knows it better than we do. So he knows how to twist it in a way that makes it seem like it's just so and just right. So through other people, he does have the ability to cause things to happen. Okay?
Right.
But just because you receive something or experience something doesn't mean it's from God.
Right.
If you're not capable of handling it, it wasn't from God.
Right.
Okay, that gets plain and simple. When God blesses you, he blesses you, period.
Mm-hmm.
When God gives to you, he gives to you, period. People will say to you, oh, well, God will take it away. No, God does not give you anything and take it away. You might turn away from it. You might opt not to use it. You might opt not
right.
to believe in it. But God does not take it away. When you have a
no.
gift, you have a gift.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
are many people who have a gift from God, but they're not using it for the purposes of the Lord. They're using it in the world. Some people knowingly, some people don't even know that it's a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
And they count it off as being talent or whatever it is, that topic, that name, that title that we give it. But it's a gift
right.
from God. And so, and I'm not saying, for instance, that someone has the ability to sing, that they should only be singing in church. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
I am saying
yeah.
that there are some people that do not even have an awareness that the gift came from him to begin with.
Right. And that's the key. That's
right.
the key for
so,
success.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely the key. Also, what happens with a lot of people, especially with gifts, especially when we're given a platform, you know, the world will give you a platform before you're mature enough to handle it. And that's the reason why you have people, think of Hollywood, you know,
mm-hmm.
people do things that are absolutely crazy and wrong.
Right?
Because they're not really mature enough to handle the platform that comes along and the fame that comes along and the responsibility
right.
of that platform and the fame,
they're not
ready to handle it yet.
No, no. And you see that
okay.
through every genre, on every level, you see that.
You do. You see that everywhere. You see it in church.
Yeah, you do.
You know, I think it's important to say, people are appointed to positions, whether by other people or self-appointed,
mm-hmm.
before they're really ready.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reasons and motives that it happens, that's not even important. The thing to
mm-mm.
keep in mind is that when that happens and the person doesn't commit properly, you know, mishandles something, it doesn't even have to be anything crazy. It could just be that someone, you know, they take on the responsibility, then they don't really commit. You know, they weren't really ready. You were putting them in a place that wasn't really there to begin with.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So,
uh-huh.
you know, and I'm not talking about people who are supposed to be in a place for a season. I'm talking about people who aren't supposed to be there at all.
Hallelujah.
Because the truth is that sometimes some people come to a place just for a season, and we want them to be there longer than what they should be there, and we try to hold them in a position, and God is saying, no, I need you to release them, I need you to let them go, and if you would just let them go the right way, they can leave and they can be whole, and I can move somebody into this position that's going to benefit you even more. But we tend to operate out of fear. We don't want to let people go, and it's just a big disaster afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay? So the whole point is that I was trying to make is that as we develop in the Word, the blessings that come as a result of growing in the Word and being mature come also. It comes naturally. God is a blessing, which means that His Word will be a blessing for us, to us, and to those around us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
Yes.
Now,
yes. Right
let's talk
here.
About this role of the pastor for a moment. Okay?
Yes.
For those who are Bible scholars, and I think that we all should be, in 1 Timothy 3, it talks about, there's talk about this. In Ephesians 4 also, there's talk about this, maybe starting around verse 11, 12, somewhere in there. And it talks about how God has given us these things, these gifts. He's given us pastors. He's given us apostles, evangelists, shepherds is what he calls pastors, teachers, prophets, okay?
Yes.
I want to go through that slowly for a minute, okay? Now, and then I'm going to go through it, and then I'm going to go through it again. So the word tells us in Ephesians 4 that this is what God has given us. He has gifted the body of Christ, which we call the church. He has gifted us with these things. And then the question comes to mind. See, when you read the Bible, when you study the Bible, study it. Ask questions. Okay?
Absolutely.
So if God gave us these things, why did he do it? I mean, was it not enough that he gave us Jesus who died on the cross?
Right. But he's given us extra.
He's given us more. So why has he given us more? Well, it says, you know, his intention was the full perfecting and the full equipping of the saints. Full.
Right.
You know, that word full is a very rich word in the Bible. You know, it talks about the fullness of time. You know, when you and I always think about a woman being pregnant, you know, and when the time for the birth has fully come, you know, women can be very close to giving birth. You know, they look like it sometimes at 7 months and at 8 months and at 9 months, they're ready. But it's not until the fullness of the pregnancy that the baby is born, when things happen according to the natural dynamic that God would typically have, right? Because we know that there are premature babies all the time. I'm talking about when a baby has, you know, to the fullness of that pregnancy period. There's a fullness of time, and there's a fullness to his equipping. That fullness means a completion, completely wants to equip us, all right? And he wants to completely... What's that?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Oh, okay. and he completely wants to build up Christ's body. And he wants to build up Christ's body to the point where we are mature and complete with a completeness that's only found in Christ. And listen to this, where we are fully alive in Christ.
Right.
That's major. See, there's alive in Christ, and then there's fully alive. I'm going to give you an example. You get saved. Christ comes and he lives in you. You're alive in Christ. You go to church on Sunday. You get a word. You know, maybe for whatever reason you're not in the church right now, but you're getting a steady word from evangelists on TV. Or how whatever method that you're getting it, all right? You're cooperating with assembling with other believers in some form or fashion. Okay,
absolutely.
You're alive in Christ. You know your spirit is getting something. Okay, but just because you're in that mode and you're learning, doesn't mean that you're learning. No, I should say it this way: just because you're in that mode and you're hearing, doesn't mean you're really learning.
Absolutely.
Okay. There are a lot of people that go to church every Sunday and they hear a whole lot of good stuff. And when they come out, they say, oh, my God, service is so good. Oh, my, it was so good. Pastor was so good today. And you say, what did you learn? They don't know.
And they can't tell you a word.
They could tell you how Pastor jumped up and down. They could tell you how everybody shouted. They could tell you about all the songs, but they have no idea what they learned. They don't remember.
You're right.
They didn't
right.
learn.
And
okay.
It makes me think of when people call our ministry on Sundays to give a report. I always ask them, what was the message? Not service was good, but what was the message? And that's what I'm hearing you say. You know.
Yes, absolutely. And let me just say this. It's not necessarily because of the pastor either.
No.
Okay? A lot of pastors all over the world are getting tremendous words to their people.
Mm-hmm.
But their people are not learning. Because for whatever reason, the word is falling on deaf ears. It's on stony ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can't take root for whatever reason. I don't even want to get into that.
Right.
Okay?
That's
so
just another
that,
show.
That's talking about that's somebody that, you know, they're in Christ, but they're not fully in Christ. They're not fully alive. They're alive in Christ, but they're not fully alive. When you are fully alive in Christ, it means that you're able to operate like Christ. It means that you have studied that word and you know that word. And it means that when an imposter comes, like Satan, and tries to tell you a word and shift that word just so that it seems right, you know that it's not right. He can't trip you up like that because you've been studying.
Right.
You're fully alive. And when you're fully alive, you also have the gift operating in a very alive way in you. So you have discernment operating in you. And you can just discern, perceive things about people, about words, about things, about situations that you can't receive when you are not fully alive in Christ. There are levels, dimensions to all of these things. You want to go deeper? You want to go behind the veil? That's going to take some work. There are a lot of people, sometimes I hear people say, oh, I wish that I could learn, you know, and be more like you or be more like this person. You need to be willing to walk that walk. You know what? To be able to learn, to be able to discern like that, to be able to receive like that, that's not something that God just gives you as you stand there.
No.
You get it
no.
because of what you put in it.
Yeah.
Okay?
You fellowship. And to suffer.
Yes.
It's not easy. It's not an easy road.
Yeah.
It's not.
No, it's not.
You know.
It's not. And it doesn't mean that it's painful, like it's going to hurt you, but it still isn't
no.
easy.
It's not going to kill you.
No. But you got, right, you know. And you know what? You know what it is, though? Truthfully,
what?
It is the killing of your flesh. And it is the killing of the self that you wanted to create yourself to be. It is the dying to the world. That's what it is. That's the part that hurts. You have to die to the world to be alive in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So now if you go down to Ephesians 4 and verse 14, it talks more about why. You know, so God wants us to be fully alive in Christ. Why? So that we are not like children, tossed around like the ships in the ocean, to and fro, between this gust of teaching and that gust of teaching and wavering with ever-changing wind of doctrine, meaning that we're going to fall prey to anyone who is cunning or anyone who is clever or unscrupulous. You know, God does not want us. Look, there's going to be people that are going to come to the Christ, to God's church, and they're going to try to manipulate things and use God's people for their own selfish gain. The Bible tells us that Satan is going to be sitting in the church right next to you, all right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be sitting all over the church. He's going to be sitting in the pew. He's going to be in the deacon room. He's going to be in the Sunday school. He's going to be in the pulpit. He's going to be in the choir stand. He's going to be anywhere. He could be in the parking lot. He's going to be everywhere that he could be, all right, because he's trying to manipulate God's people. He hates him. He hates God. Satan hates God. And he wants to turn any person away from God that he can. Therefore, he will saturate the place in order to do so. So how do you ensure that you are not moving into false doctrines? How do you make sure that you are not a person that's just going to be, oh, this word sounds good and run over to this house. Oh, that word sounds good and run over to that house. How do you know that you're not going to be a person that's just a word chaser but not a word learner and a word studier and a word doer? How do you know that? Because you are going to spend the time to rightly divide the word, to learn how to do that. You're going to spend time with God, develop that relationship, that one-on-one relationship with Him, so that when someone is teaching you, even though you may not have time at that moment to go and say, listen, I'm going to go study this right this minute along with you and see if it's right. You don't have time to do that when you really go deep, but your spirit will let you know, yes, this is okay, or you might want to go and study this for a minute. You know,
yes,
I always say,
yes,
for me, it feels like a scrap record. You know, I'm dating myself a little bit, but for those of you who know anything about records, you know that when a scratch record came on board, it came on, it messed up the whole song. And sometimes the whole record was no longer usable, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's true of the word. Sometimes people have a damaged word that they're delivering, and the whole thing is not usable. If you do not have a developed sense of discernment, you can very easily be taken aback. So that's why you will hear a lot of pastors and teachers and prophets say, don't take my word for it. Write this down.
Right.
Remember this in your mind.
Right.
Write it across your heart and go back home and study it for yourself with God. Now, I want to deal with a teaching that many people hear because it's dangerous. There are a lot of leaders that will tell you that you cannot study on your own. There are a lot of leaders that will tell you that you are not equipped to go and read the Bible yourself and to study on your own. And they will say that for a variety of reasons. That's not true. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you not to study for yourself.
No,
you pray,
no.
You ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, and He'll lead you.
Mm-hmm.
What makes person have the right to God's word any more than you? When God's word says that He's no respecter of person, why do we keep saying that He is? Why do we keep saying, he'll tell the pastor, but he won't tell me. Oh, he'll tell the first lady, but he won't tell me. He'll tell the prophet, or he'll tell the deacon, or he'll tell the Sunday school teacher, but he won't tell me. Why do we keep doing that? The world says He's not a respecter of person.
Right.
Therefore,
absolutely,
He will tell anyone. The world tells us, ask, seek, knock. It doesn't say to the pastor or to the apostle or to the prophet, ask, seek, and knock. To all of us, ask, seek, and knock.
And, you know, as pastors, we have to get out of the way and not hinder the growth of the people that you're shepherding over. So, you know, that knock, seek, and get out of the way is so on point. You are, go ahead. This is great. This is good.
I want to go back to Ephesians 4. I want to talk a little bit from verse 11 about what these positions are. Because, again, this is something that we have kind of messed up in the church. You know, I'm going to get in trouble for this, and it's okay, because this is from God, all right? I'm just telling you right now, there are going to be some of you that are going to challenge the thinking I'm about to give to you. All right?
Let me just say,
I believe wholeheartedly in churches. I really do. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I would never say that church is a bad thing. It is a necessary thing in the body of Christ.
Yes, it is.
Okay? I just want to offer you a biblical understanding of the role of the gift that God has given us. Very simplistic. That's all I'm doing. And you can take that to the Lord and talk with Him about it and let Him guide you. Okay?
Right.
Now, I'm also telling you that I am not telling you, those of you who are going to agree with me, to go to your church and start a war. Not do
Good
that.
Good point. Good point.
It is not your responsibility to do that. If there is something amiss in your church, in your opinion, you talk to God about it and let Him work it out.
Yes, and so you will.
Okay?
Anything
you
out of
order. You let Him work it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep your mouth shut.
Right.
Okay, now that I said that. Verse 11.
Okay.
says he gave. We're talking about Jesus here. He gave. God gave. It means he bestowed. He offered. He empowered to the body. All right? Apostles. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to know where I got this information from. I went straight to the original Greek and Hebrew.
Right.
I did. And I looked up these words in the Hebrew. And this mm-hmm. is the exact definition according to Strong. For those of you
right.
who are Bible scholars, you know what I'm talking about. It is
exactly.
what we use to determine the definition of words because our
yeah.
Bible was not written originally in English. And therefore, there are times
yeah.
when things are lost in translation. And
mm-hmm.
so you need to sometimes go to the base language to get the understanding, all right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very important.
Yeah, absolutely.
So apostles yeah. are ambassadors of the gospel. They are messengers, okay? And it says that in all these things that he gave, that it was not he or she, it was any of it. He, she, it. He gave it to
yes.
the Spirit. He didn't give
mm-hmm.
it to the physical man, the physical woman. He gave it to the Spirit. God is dealing with our spirit. Please understand
right.
that.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
He gave it to our spirit. The apostles are ambassadors of the gospel. When you think about what an ambassador is in the natural, in the United States, we have people in other countries that are from the United States that are ambassadors. We have people
mm-hmm.
that are here in the United States that are ambassadors of their country. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
It means that they are a representative. It means that they have gone forward, all right? Their president, leader,
right.
king, whatever it is
right.
back home in their country. But they are operating under that person's authority as a representative in a particular area in a particular
mm-hmm.
country.
Absolutely.
Okay? So you can have an ambassador. I'm just making this up. An ambassador for
right.
food and an ambassador for cars and an ambassador for education. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Different ambassadors
right.
have different things that they represent. It's no different
exactly.
than in a company. You can have a director of this, a director of that, a director of this.
Mm-hmm.
Same concept. Okay?
Right.
So an apostle was an ambassador. And think about the apostles, the 12 apostles. They were 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In order for the church to grow to the point where it did, they had to go out and be ambassadors that brought that word out, extended
out.
It out.
Mm-hmm.
And they also sent people where? To go
Christ
out.
Said, yes.
Two by
yes.
two. It's what Christ did. He sent them out.
Right.
Two.
Mm-hmm. He says,
okay?
Upon you, my church will be built. That's, you
Absolutely.
Know, they had a very key role. And starting of the
Absolutely.
Of the body of Christ. You know, that's what they did.
It's exactly what they did. And so
okay.
I need you to understand that that's what apostles are. Now,
mm-hmm.
we have a whole other definition of apostles, and quite frankly, sometimes I'm still trying to understand it. I'm going to leave it alone. You
okay.
see what you want to do with it? I'm just going to tell you, according to the Bible, this is what an apostle is. Don't
yeah.
get in the head. Okay? I'm not trying to take
mm-hmm.
anybody's title. It's just factual
no.
what it is. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prophet.
Mm-hmm.
A prophet is an inspired speaker. I'm not talking someone who's excited. I'm not talking about someone who's inspired because they love the word. I'm talking
right.
about someone who literally is inspired by God, prompted by God, allowing God to use them as a mouthpiece.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. Now,
mm-hmm.
different prophets might prophesy differently. Some have a word of knowledge, meaning they, you know, just for that moment, they have a particular word. You know, like, there's, I don't want to get too deep into that. There's different
right.
types of prophecy. Let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
The
yeah,
bottom
they
line
are.
Is he gave prophets to the body. So
right.
that they might get an inspired word from God, something directly, a rhema, okay,
mm-hmm.
in the
mm-hmm.
moment for them. When people are preaching, they definitely can pull rhema and be moved to operate in the realm of prophecy. It doesn't mean that they all do. Okay,
no.
Here's another thing I need people to understand. There's a difference between the office of a prophet and the gifting of prophecy.
Yes.
Let's not get the two confused.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's a difference between an office and a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He gave some to be evangelists. The translation, the Hebrew translation for that, I'm sorry, the Greek translation for that is simply the preacher of the gospel. Now, I have no idea why for most of us we feel that if you're an evangelist, it means that you're a woman.
Right.
And I have no idea why we assume that if you're an evangelist, you're in a lowly position. I have no idea where that came from.
No.
Okay? It is not a lowly position, and it's not necessarily for women. Remember, God gives you the Spirit.
The Spirit.
Okay?
Which is not, right. Right. Amen.
All right. Then he gave pastor, teacher. We also know them as shepherds. And their responsibility is simply to instruct, or I should say, to lead through instruction.
Yes.
Now, we put all these other responsibilities on them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
According to the word, they are the office of that position is to lead and instruct. Now, here's something else that you need to understand. When you look at the Acts of the Apostles, and you look at how they were structured after Christ had ascended into heaven, the apostles were there, and there were many, many people that needed attending to, and they were trying to attend all these people, including many widows and orphans. Remember that?
Right.
And what
did
they do?
Yes.
They appointed other people to attend to that because their responsibility was to make sure that that word got out.
Amen.
Okay? So
Amen.
They understood what their responsibility was.
Mm-hmm.
When you are operating in an office, then please operate in that office. I'm talking to myself, I know.
I know.
All right?
Talk
when
to
you
all
are
of it.
Supposed to work in an office, work in it. If you've accepted the responsibility, and hear what I'm saying. I'm not getting into whether you are called to it by God. I'm not getting into it about whether or not you chose it for yourself. I don't care. If you are in the office, if you have accepted the responsibility of the office, then understand the office and be in it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Now, here's the thing that I want us to understand. Somehow, through time, and I think it's through the idea and the concept I could definitely see of honoring the man and woman of God.
Mm-hmm.
We have created a hierarchy system very similar to that of corporate America, where the pastor is at the top and everyone else is below him.
No.
But if you look at how the church was, when Jesus walked the earth, and when he ascended, you will see that it was not like a triangle, a hierarchy. It was more like a circle where everyone in that circle was of equal importance.
Right.
They simply had a different function. That's why Paul talks about the body, and he says, you know, hey, but seriously, do you think that your foot is greater than your eye?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Do you think that your hand is more important than your shoulder?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you had to think of a body part that was more important than another, that you know, if I'm going to be just one body part, then I'm just going to be this part, you can't.
You can't just take off
your body
right
part and get rid of it. You won't function. You will be dysfunctional. You will be you will no longer be whole and complete. And it's the same thing with the body. We need all of these pieces for us to be able to grow and to be full in Him. That's why He gave us all these pieces.
Mm-hmm.
One is not greater than the other. It's just a different function. And they are all worthy. All worthy of respect. All worthy of honor, if that's what you want to call it. But they're all equal.
Yeah, you know, if we throw it back into the world scheme, as you refer to it, like structured like corporate America, if you have a whole bunch of directors getting together, no one's department is over anyone else's. It's just a bunch of directors of the department coming together to make the company work. And our company is the body
of Christ. And you need them all.
Right. Every last one of
them. And you need them all. When one of them is not working properly, then the company is not working properly. If one of them is dysfunctional, then the company is dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, again, I want to go back to why God did this. For the perfecting of the saints. And what does that mean, really? It means so that we can make adjustments, so that we could be repaired, so that we could be restored back to Him. All right? Not just restored, but restored back to God. He's looking for us to come back into that relationship that He had with Adam.
Right.
That's why Jesus came, to restore us back to the relationship that God had with Adam. Mm-hmm. So He's making adjustments. And here, I want you to hear the word adjustment, because God does not change you by leaps and bounds overnight. That's why He says it's precept upon precept. It's a shift over here and a shift over there and an adjustment over here and just a slight turn this way and a slight step up and a slight step sideways. And as long as you keep making these steps, you'll move closer to Him. Before you know it, you turn around and you say, oh, my God, I don't even recognize myself anymore. I shifted.
Mm-hmm.
I turned. I made a step up. I turned around.
Amen.
I did a somersault. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And here is where I landed. I don't even know where I am. I don't even know how to get back to where I was. You know how they have that song that says, I've come too far to turn back? You don't even know. Not only do you not want to, but you couldn't if you wanted to. You don't even know how.
You don't know how.
And one of the reasons why you don't know how is because your spirit will never let it, because your spirit is like a muscle, and once it grows, forget it. Even if you don't use it, it's still going to be right there waiting for you to use it again.
Dormant.
And the moment that you try to stop using it, you're going to start feeling resistance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what happens to us with our muscle. You know, if you sit for too long and then you stand up, you feel some kind of resistance in your legs, in your muscle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you stand for too long and then you sit down, you feel resistance. Amen? It's the same thing in the spirit.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing in the spirit. And why, again, God wants us to come to the full knowledge of His Son. He wants us to be fully acquainted with Him. Because if we are, we can get back to that state that He was with Adam. Amen?
Absolutely. Amen.
He wants us to be fully grown. Mentally, morally, our character should be complete.
Ah, yes. Yes.
All right. I hope
you
that
people
understand that.
And, you know, if the spirit, talk to the spirit. If you're having problems with this, get along with your Savior, and He will explain it.
Yes.
He will.
Yes, he will definitely explain it. So I want to, with the remainder of our time, I want to talk about some things that you can do to take on the full responsibility of your relationship with God. Okay? Look, I'm not going in order like this. The first thing I give you is the thing that you need to do most. No, it's just some things that are important for you to consider to do as you decide you want to move forward with God. So take down the scripture, Hebrews 10:25. It talks about not forsaking the assembling of believers, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What this is talking about is that there are some people that not only do they not assemble as believers,
mm-hmm.
they don't want to. And you'll
right.
hear them say things like, they don't take all of that. Okay? And God is saying, don't be like those people. You
right.
should heartily encourage others to gather together as believers.
Yes.
And
yes.
worship God together. Do you know the power of the anointing when you get together with other people and you are on one accord, worshiping and praising God? Oh, my goodness, the breakthroughs that can happen when a group of people just get together and they just want to say thank you, when they just want to say, God, you are great, when they just want to talk to him about how awesome he is, when they just want to praise his name. It can be so rich and so powerful that people will walk out of there healed, delivered, set free, and not even realize it because they were only there to worship. Okay?
Right.
Of course Satan doesn't want you to gather together.
No.
When you gather together, you're going to learn, you're going to be empowered, you're going to be strengthened, you're not going to be weak-minded. You know, you're going to become more like God. You're going to understand more about your identity and who you are in him and how there's nothing that he wouldn't do for you. And how there's nothing that he won't ever forgive. That in fact, he's already forgiven it. You just have to accept it. You know, Satan doesn't want you to know that. And this is what we do as people. When we forsake the assembly, it's not even just part, it doesn't even mean, you know, not being willing to go to church. Here's what I want you to see, because that's usually what we think. And that's a surface understanding, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little bit deeper revelation that I received. It's also about being judgmental about how people worship. You know, why aren't they standing? Or why are they standing so much? Or why aren't they dancing? Or why they dance so much? Why are they so quiet? Why are they so loud? Why are they tired?
Right.
Why don't they tide? Why do they fast? Why don't they fast? They don't take all of that.
I don't take all
that. They speak in tongues. I don't believe in tongues. All of that judgmental stuff causes strife in the body. Can we not just all assemble together and say, we are worshiping the same God?
Yes.
Can I worship him and have my own vertical relationship with him my way, and yet it's okay? Because my relationship with him, my experience with him, what I understand about him is very different than what you have with him.
Absolutely.
And what you need to do to worship God for you is very different than what I need. So why don't we come together and express ourselves in what way is most comfortable and learn from each other and be in a place where truly there is freedom in Christ.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is reminding me to say something, just one thing about pastors and the relationship with God.
Okay.
For those of you who are still saying that, you know, well, your pastor is responsible for your relationship with God, I want you to think very carefully about this. The Holy Spirit is leading me to say this. Your pastor is no more responsible for your relationship with God than he is for your relationship with your children or with your spouse or with your parents or with your siblings, with your coworkers, with your boss. Your pastor is not responsible for any of those relationships. Why would he suddenly be responsible for your relationship with God?
Yes.
He's not.
And
he's
that's
not.
A very key point.
Yeah. He's not responsible. You're responsible for it. You accepted Christ. He didn't accept Christ for you. Your pastor accepted Christ for himself.
Right.
Even if a word he said caused you to accept Christ, he's not responsible for your relationship.
No.
He's responsible to help teach the body and to get the body to a level of maturity and understanding.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he's not responsible for the relationship. That's on you.
No. Yeah, that is on you. That is
on you. So, forsaking the assembly, don't be judgmental. All right?
Yes.
I want to share a story. My mom and I do spiritual retreat, and we give them every year in August or September. We have one coming up in a couple of weeks. And we were at this retreat, and this is a location that we have gone to many times. They had a beautiful stage that we used for praise and worship. Because in the room, it was a circular room that was three-quarters of the way all glass and nothing but beautiful trees and just beautiful nature all around us. And so those of us who were lead, and then it had a beautiful sound system and a fireplace. So you could turn the music on and just be engulfed in this wonderful worship experience. And so we would go there early morning. And we would have a wonderful worship experience. And I was standing with my back to the glass. And I felt impressed upon my heart, kneel down. And I said to myself, I don't want to kneel down. Because I know people are looking at me. And
right.
I don't want people looking at me saying, oh, how holy she is. I want to be like her. I want people to just be in their vertical space with God, and I don't want to be a distraction to it.
Exactly.
And I felt that prompting, kneel down. And I said, I don't want to be a distraction to people. Now, I want you all to know that I do realize, and I did then, that that prompting was the Holy Spirit. See, I want you to understand, I'm human. I'm normal, just like all of you. And even though I knew that that prompting was the Holy Spirit, here I am thinking I know better than God, saying I don't want to be a distraction to people. As much as I may want to kneel, I don't want people looking at me. I want them to enjoy their worship experience with you, Lord.
You're
and then I heard one more time in a very quiet voice, Kim, kneel down. And so I did, right?
Yeah, you were
after
going to.
Our worship experience, we were having just some time in talking about the experience. And this woman said, you know, I was sitting here saying, it's so beautiful. And, Lord, I really need to know that you are here with me and that you are talking to me. And I really just want to be able to see clearly the window. I was blocking the window. She said, I want to see clearly the window, and I want to see nature clearly.
Yes.
And
yes.
when I kneeled down, not only was it her sign that God heard her, but she saw an eagle in the trees take off.
Wow.
Had I not listened,
yes,
had I not listened, she would have been in that experience, but not really believed that God was there with her. She would have believed that God was there with everyone else, but not with her. You see, we need to allow people to worship whatever way they worship, besides the fact that we don't know all there is to know about God. You know, there are so many facets and ways that he speaks and, you know, just so much that we don't know. Let people have their experience. Maybe we can learn something from it. All right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Second thing I want to tell people is study. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells you, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed because you're rightly dividing the word of truth. It means be diligent. Make an effort. What kind of effort? Make an effort to present yourself as someone who's willing to labor and learn all about God. Be a true worker.
Yes.
And learn how to correctly, listen to this, dissect the divine word of God, because
yes.
the word is meant to be dissected. It's meant to be dissected. You can't do that by just reading it. You must, absolutely must, when you're trying, in order to dissect it, study. Amen? Oh, I hear you. You're there.
Uh-huh. It
okay.
had to happen. It had to happen.
It had to happen.
It had to happen. It was too much. Yeah, go ahead.
The third thing is ground yourself in the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go to John 8, 31 and 32, it talks about how you'll know truth and the truth will make you free. And
right.
then in John 36, it talks about that if the Son sets you free, then you're going to be free indeed. That all came about because, you know, Jesus was telling them that they need to know the truth. And they said, listen, we're children of Abraham. You know, we've never had any issues before. And Jesus says, yeah, but you are slaves to sin. And
right.
I'm telling you that if you know the truth will set you free. Some versions
Absolutely.
Of the Bible says it'll make you free. Let me tell you something about the truth. Truth in all ways is always good. I'm going to tell
mm-hmm.
you, just in the natural, begin to accept the truth about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe your own hype. Accept
Hello.
The truth about yourself.
Absolutely.
Right? One of the things that I teach to people about being, you know, living a maximized life, the first thing is ground yourself in the truth. The truth is the
mm-hmm.
truth is the truth. Here's the thing
it
about
is
the
what
great
it
thing
is.
About the
yes.
truth. The great thing about the truth is that it can't shift. It can't change because it's the
mm-hmm.
truth. It's the reason why it's easier to tell the truth than a lie, because
yeah.
you can't remember a lie all the time, and lies take on a whole life of their own. But at least when you tell the truth, you know what the truth is. And if you forget mm-hmm. what the truth is, then you can at least say, no, that doesn't sound like the truth, or that doesn't sound like something I would say, because you know
right.
the difference.
Yes.
But a lie, who the heck knows? When you deal with yourself in the truth, then you can really make change. You know,
I
always talk about this when I do my 3 steps to the Maximize Life class, because I had to say to myself, you know, here's what we do. We say, well, you know, it's just a white lie. I don't know what a white lie is as opposed to a black lie or a purple lie.
I don't know either.
We say it's just a white lie. You know, we say it's just a small lie. You know, but
yeah.
here's the thing, a lie is a lie. You know, with God,
yes,
there's no color. There's no range of gray. You know, like
no.
it's not 50 shades of gray, yellow, purple, orange. It's
and
just
it's
black
the,
and white.
Yeah.
It's either a lie or the
yeah.
truth. So,
yeah. It's
so,
it.
So you say a little white lie, God says it's sin.
It's sin.
I mean,
it.
That's all it is. So do yourself
yeah.
a favor. Stop lying.
You know,
so, and then we do things like, you know, well, you know, I don't want to hurt her feelings. She asked how I look, and so I just told her she looked nice. Well, you could find creative ways to not lie.
Right.
You know, you could say, well, that dress is something else.
Yeah.
Or you
yeah.
could just say,
yeah.
well, you know, truthfully, I prefer you in the dress you wore yesterday.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
you could choose not to answer. You know, you
yeah.
could joke it on me.
Yeah.
Now, why do you want to go and ask me?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have the best taste. Don't ask me those kind of things.
Right.
You know,
right.
there's a
right.
lot of things that you could do with that other than lie. Now, here's the thing. Any type of sin separates you. And so I had to accept for myself that regardless of whatever kind of lie it was that I was telling, I was a liar.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds
yeah.
harsh, but
yeah,
it's the truth. And let me tell you, when I realized that, it set me free. You know why? Because I didn't mm-hmm. think that it was worth being separated from God. Is it worth being separated from God just to tell somebody, mm-hmm. not hurt somebody's feelings and tell them they look fantastic when you know they look a hot mess?
Yes.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying
yeah.
hurt their feelings, but I'm being
no.
more serious. Like, we get caught, these are the moral things that we get caught up in, and we don't realize that those little things, we call them little foxes in the Bible, right? You know, before
mm-hmm.
you know it, you know, more and more things become acceptable to you. So it starts with lying about that, and then it moves to stealing office supplies at work. you know, and we think it's okay because you come home and there's a whole bunch of office supplies in your house that came from your job.
Yeah.
You know, that's not okay.
Yeah.
stealing utensils from the cafeteria.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I laugh because I know people who have done these things, and it's not okay. It's still stealing. Stealing is stealing. It is a sin. It's against God. Let me ask you a question. Is it worth the separation that it causes between you and God? Here's what I want to tell you about stealing. When you steal, then you are saying that you don't have the faith that God will provide this thing for you.
Amen.
Think of it that way.
Direct.
Okay? So ground yourself in the truth. If you're overweight, then you're overweight. Hey, I'm overweight. I know it.
I'm
okay with me.
Hey, that's an old picture, everybody.
I'm okay with me. And the reality is I know that I'm overweight. And if I want to do something about it, then I know what to do. And if I don't want to do something about it, then I'm okay. But at least I know my truth. And you know what? Because I know and I accept my truth, you can't hurt me with it.
No, you can't.
Ground yourself in the truth. It's so much more powerful.
Right. Yes, and everyone.
How much time we got? We don't have a lot of time left.
No, and I'm going to announce that I want everyone to listen to this again because we're going to stop streaming in 2 minutes, but there's going to be something after this. So go ahead and continue.
Okay. The other thing, I hope that by now you get it, study what you're learning. I think one of the reasons why pastors get concerned is that people start going and study anything. You know, the pastor is talking about fasting, and you go home and you're studying end time. Study what you're learning. You know, there's a season for all things. Pray before you go into study. Let God lead you. And truthfully, if God does lead you in a different direction, okay, fine. But if you don't know what to study, study what you're learning in church.
Yes.
Take out those notes that you took. You know, and if you got a CD or something from church of that sermon, then listen to it and, you know, stop it where you need to and go and study like that. Study along with your pastor, not against him.
Absolutely.
Pray without ceasing. Absolutely, we should be doing that. We should be talking all day to God. It should just be a part of our relationship that he's always on our mind. You got to think of God like that new lover, all right?
Yeah.
He has to always be on your mind. You need to be ready for him. Think about it. He loves you so much that he lives for the attention that you give him. And so you need to be constantly in communication with him. Now, here's the thing that I want you to remember, because people do get to that point, but they forget to have that set time for prayer.
Sure.
And my mom talked about this recently, and it so blessed me. It's important for you to still have a set time for prayer, okay? Here's what I mean by that. I mean, you know, give yourself a few minutes, half an hour, whatever amount of time you have to just sit and pray.
Right.
To just sit and study. And whether it's every day or once a week or whatever it is, just do it. Start somewhere. And do yourself a favor. Don't allow the enemy to come in and condemn you if you miss it. So if you say, I'm going to get up at 5:45 in the morning and just pray, and at 5:45 you turn off your alarm and you go back to sleep, when you wake up, don't let Satan condemn you for that.
No.
It's okay.
No. Just
find
start
another
praying.
Time in the day to do it.
Yes, absolutely.
If you could do it right then and there, then do it. But have your set time for prayer. Don't let the enemy cause you to miss your mark. Right? And then the last thing that I'm going to say, because I know that we're running out of time, is to journal your time with God. Keep notes on what you're learning and what you're hearing. All right? Notes on what you're learning and what you're hearing. And with that being said, I'm going to say to everyone out there, I'm going to be putting this together, these bullet points together. We're going to have it on our website, along with a few more things that I didn't get a chance to discuss today. So, you know, give us a week or so to get that out there. But when you go back to the website and you download it, you'll have not only what we talked about, but you'll have a little bit more.
Absolutely. Amen. It was a very powerful word today. Meaty, It was a smorgasbord of meats, and I thank
yes,
you.
Yes, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Holy Spirit. And I think there's a lot of good points. That's why I wanted to keep recording. And as people are listening to this, definitely pass this message on, because it will begin to automatically shift the body of Christ into the direction that God wants it to be. So thank you very much.
Amen.
For your teachings today, amen, and we look forward to seeing you again September. Let me make sure I give the right, you know, I always give the wrong date, so I have to make sure.
Oh, God.
September the 9th.
Let me get my calendar here.
Yes, September the 9th.
Second Tuesday, September the 9th, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely,
yes.
And we're going to do our Skype teaching.
Yes, we are. We are. We have some you listen internationally, please contact us at the ministry website if you want some of our teachings. www.journeyhomeministries.org. If you want to meet, contact Minister Horvath, khorvath @journeyhomeministry.org. Go to the website. All the contacts are there. All the old shows are there. Listen, learn, and grow. Okay. Thank you, woman of God.
Oh, you're welcome. Be blessed.
Be blessed. All right. We're going to roll out of here like we always roll out of here with How Great Thou Art by Society Hill Music. Everyone, see you next month.